Met each other that way, and then I met Matt at this camp in Mount Shasta, California. Was that the next year, probably? 2006. And we all just hit it off, and they had been going to the Mark O'Connor fiddle camps and met each other there, and just kind of from, you know, meeting up every summer and playing music, we all really fell in love playing with each other. And so technically, we've been playing as a trio for a little more than 3 years, but we've known each other for a lot longer than that, so it's fun to play together. I'm very lucky. If any of you are new in one of our other sets, over here on the fiddle is Alex Hargraves, and over here on the show is Nick Aronson. Transatlantic sessions. Yeah, that was really cool. That was about 2 years ago. I flew over to Scotland to take that, and It was an amazing. It's this, if you don't know about it, it's for the BBC, and Jerry Douglas and Ali Bain are the musical directors of this thing, and people come from the UK and the US and collaborate on each other's songs, and it's an amazing program. I have watched it on YouTube for years, because unfortunately they don't air it on TV over here, which should change, because it's a great show, but yeah, I was really honored to get to have that opportunity, but it's not on a CD. I think they're trying to figure out how to get it on TV over here, which should happen, you know. But anyways, check it out if y'all don't know about it. It's called the Transatlantic Sessions. Well, I guess I'll play this tune here that is from my first CD. And it's an instrumental that I wrote called Manzanita. This is. It feels really silly to be so high up from you guys, but we're making it work, you know. Just imagine that we're not up here. It's like a little house concert almost. Varies. I've found which I kind of love. It's not a formula for me. It's not like 1 + 1 = 2 all the time, you know. It's always kind of a different way of arriving at a song. And that mystery kind of keeps it exciting, I think. You know, I'm constantly taking down melodic ideas and lyrical ideas and then going back through those and kind of seeing what works together. And then other times, a song will kind of just happen, and that's really rare, but it has happened before, and you know, those are special moments of inspiration. But, you know, and then I'll kind of bring them to the guys, and I'll kind of work out an arrangement on my own, usually, and then we'll all kind of collaborate together on a lot of these arrangements. And it's cool because, especially with some of the songs from my first two albums, there were different arrangements of each of these songs for their record, and then it was sort of another, you know, transformation of these songs, which is a really fun thing to do in terms of bringing it to the trio. And I think that's a really exciting thing to get to figure it out for this certain setting. And then other times I play solo shows and I kind of have a different arrangement for that. So it's nice to kind of have the freedom within the songs to let them settle into different places, I think. And yeah, but in terms of the trio aspect, I definitely think we all bring certain ideas to each song. So. Anyone else?
I was wondering how you and Alison Krauss collaborated, and how much of an influence it's been on you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only time I actually collaborated with her was on the Transatlantic Sessions, which I was talking about earlier, and that was because she was also a guest on the show, and the nature of that TV show is that the different artists play on each other's songs, and it's very collaborative. I've met her a bunch. Obviously, she's a massive influence just growing up and loving her songs and her band, and they're very inspiring. She's certainly a magnificent person, you know, and quite certainly someone to look up to. So I was honored to get to have that chance to sing with her, and she's amazing, and obviously surrounds herself with amazing musicians as well. So. Where do I find inspiration from?
Yeah, when you're writing, do you start listening to certain artists or anything like that? Is there a certain place that you go to? Is it sitting in front of a desk and just having a mandolin? Like, where do you get... I know I listening to some of my favorite music, I sometimes get inspired. So is there anything in particular?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of my inspiration comes just from listening to my heroes, you know. We were actually just talking about it before coming on stage, watching people that you really admire, musicians, just simply the act of watching them physically perform is, to me, really inspiring, and you can learn a lot from just how relaxed, or like someone like Tim O'Brien is so relaxed, and it's easy to tense up, you know, when you're on stage and playing a lot of songs, and I think it's great to keep that in mind in terms of being relaxed. But similarly, I also am equally as inspired in terms of writing and making my own music. You know, with that being said, I think a lot of non-musical things really inspire that as well, almost if not more. Recently I've been getting really into painting and poetry, you know, trying to write words that aren't necessarily having to fit into this musical form per se of a song is kind of a freeing experience and really inspiring for me, and oftentimes if I'm able to express myself in those non-musical settings, it often positively affects my music, I hope, anyways. But yeah, I guess that's the best answer I could give. If you guys have anything you want to say as well, just go for it, you know.
Hey.
Should we do Simple Twist? We played a Bob Dylan song on the stage earlier, but we'll play another one now, and this is gonna be one of the covers. There's gonna be two covers on my new CD, and this will be one of them. So we'll play it for you. So I believe there's a merch tent, and all of my CDs are there. Do you have merch tent? No. Matt doesn't have a CD here. Alex has his solo CD here. They're all at the merch tent. But also online, my website's just sarahdrose.com, and all of that stuff's on iTunes and Amazon. And you should definitely check out these guys. Their solo CDs are both equally amazing, and some really awesome stuff to check out. And that's on your website, I think. So NathanielSmithCello.com. And what's yours? AlexHargraves.net. Fancy. So that's the scoop on that. Did you have one? Okay, so I first heard that song by Joe Baez, and I listen to a lot of Molly O'Brien. She does this amazing interpretation of other writers' songs. So, and I think Joe Baez sings Dylan or something like that. So I'm really interested in who you first heard that song from.
I
definitely heard it from, I mean, Blood on the Tracks is one of my favorite records, so that was the way that I heard it growing up, the original version, I suppose. And we were actually we didn't even plan on covering that one necessarily. A lot of the times I'll have ideas for songs that I really want to cover, you know, that I think would fit in the trio, and that one actually, like a year or two ago, we were just backstage before a show, jamming, kind of, and now...
Nothing's changed, actually.
Yeah. Literally, the very first time we played it, it happens like that, you know? There wasn't a lot of... A lot of times we'll figure out arrangements, and there's a lot of planning involved, but that one was just really magical. And we were like, this feels really good. We should play it. So, that was a natural one. What's that? I guess my parents. My parents are awesome, big music lovers. They're both teachers of non-music, but my mom has played guitar and written songs her whole life just as a hobby, and my dad is just one of those guys that can't walk into a record store without coming out with 10 new things. So there was just all sorts of music playing around the house, different records, you know, growing up. And I grew up about an hour outside of Austin, Texas, so that's a great, Texas people. So that's obviously a great music town, and kind of grew up in the hill country in this little town called Wimberley. Would just go into Austin all the time. I was lucky that my parents just drug me with them, you know, to see great concerts. But yeah, it was my dad and my mom who played Blood on the Tracks for the first time.
Who's your favorite Texas songwriter?
Ooh, that's tough. That's really tough. There's so many good ones. I mean, Towns Van Zandt's obviously amazing. That's just too hard. But he's one that comes to mind. Should we do one of my all-time favorite songwriters, non-Texan, but I mentioned him on the main stage, is Tim O'Brien. And he is one of the first people that I really fell in love with on my own, just in terms of hearing, I think I heard Traveler when I was in the eighth grade, and the record cover was, you know, these black Converse All-Star tennis shoes, and I was this little eighth grade girl, and I was like, this would be really cool to go get some Converse tennis shoes because Tim O'Brien thinks they're cool. So we'll play a Tim O'Brien song for you. is a tune of his off an album called Chameleon, which is all solo Tim O'Brien, and that's called Red Dog in the Morning. It's kind of a different combination of all things, because I have different things on all of my different instruments. But we all are using these, I guess nowadays too, these radial tone bone preamps, which are awesome. They're big boxes, you know, a lot to lug around, but I've been really happy with, I pair them with, on my octave mandolin and my mandolin, I have K&K pickups, and that particular combination is really awesome. And I think it's a lot about, I've kind of messed around with different combinations for a while, you know, with all these different instruments. I think it's about figuring out what works for you and kind of the different combo. It's great for me to have the preamps, the tone bones, because I'm switching out constantly so I can like mute each thing as opposed to having them all, you know, not. But also, you can kind of blend it yourself. It's little boxes, kind of. If you want to come up afterwards and look at them, you can. Do you want to say what your mic is?
Yeah, I'm just using a Bartlett clip-on microphone that mounts under the bridge and blending that with a pickup. LR Vax pickup.
I play the cello.
Yep.
sure of in life right now.
That's good. That's good that you know that. Well, I kind of have it in this this modal, like, A tuning. I switch around between a lot of different tunings on the banjos. So I'm capoed up right now. So if I wasn't, then that would be G, like a modal G. Modal being like that note. So that's G there. And I tune that note up, and it makes it a kind of like a cool mountain tuning. But a lot of the time I use this double C tuning, which I tune this one down, and they call it double C because there's the two octaves C there. I kind of switch between those two mostly in the songs that, at least when we play in our sets, you know. There's so many tunings, though, that you can mess around with, especially on the clawhammer banjo. So, yeah, that one was in that kind of modal A one, though. Say that again. Sure. I guess initially I kind of like worked my way backwards in terms of my influences on the banjo. Initially I was really influenced by Abigail Washburn. Being a young girl, you know, getting into music, I was about 13 or 14 when I first picked up the banjo, because I was into mandolin before that. And just being a young girl, like, to have someone like Abby to look up to. She's this amazing musician and woman, and I loved her playing, I loved her songs, and that's really kind of how I first got into it. This, also simultaneously, this bluegrass jam that I went to every Friday night in Wimberley, this guy Bernard Malberg would always bring his clawhammer banjo every Friday, and I just loved the sound, and he was kind of the first one to teach me how to play, and he actually built this banjo that I have here, which is awesome. It's a six string, which is rare. Six string not meaning like the git Joe. It's not tuned like a guitar. It's like the normal five string, but with this extra low string on here, which is really sweet. It's kind of droney. So I guess those two initially, and then, you know, I worked, Dirk Powell is another favorite player, and then obviously you go back, you know, like I was actually really into this album, this guy Bascom Lamar Lunsford. It's like on the Smithsonian Folkways recording, and he has, you know, it's from way long ago in the Appalachian Mountains, and he's a great player. So those were kind of a few of the initial things that I was really into in terms of the banjo. Yeah. Do you have a question? You know someone named Alex who plays the fiddle too? That's awesome. Sweet. That's amazing. Is it your brother? You just know someone. That's cool. Well, cool. Well, I guess Alex is a good name for fiddle players then. Thanks for telling me that. We're gonna go way back. Play a tune that we hardly ever play anymore, but it's from my first CD, a tune of mine called Can't Hide. Five-string banjo wasn't hard to tune enough, you know? I have to go and get a six-string.
play that song at all. But it was really fun. Thanks, Laura. You're the best.
Anyone else out there with burning questions inside? Oh man, people ask me that all the time. It's so hard. I mean, I guess technically I started on the mandolin, and that's really the first one that I became obsessed with, just playing a lot, you know, on my own. But I love them all. It's like they give me all these different options. Lately, I've really been loving the octave mandolin. You know, I feel like people probably look at the octave and think that it's a guitar, but it's actually a mandolin, just an octave lower, you know. And I really love that, especially as a singer, you know, because it's like playing the mandolin, but it's a little more oomph that maybe a guitar could give you, you know. And that's built by this guy named Fletcher Brock, who's a really amazing luthier, and I was kind of looking for one for a long time, and then I met him at IBMA in Nashville and played it for 5 minutes and knew that I had to have the instrument. So I do really love that one, but I don't think I could ever just pick one. I know you would say that cello.
Cello.
Yeah.
Actually, organ.
Organ?
Yeah, organ's one of my favorites.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Aside from the musicality and working with your voice, which do you find is the most physically challenging? Because what I've come to understand, having tried to play just a wee bit of guitar, is how you work your body in different ways. So I'm curious about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that's one of the biggest challenges I know we all face in terms of trying to stay relaxed, especially on stage. You know, it's one thing to be sitting down and playing, and not for anyone, but on stage to keep relaxation in mind. In that sense, I guess they're all challenging just in different ways. I mean, vocally, you know, that's your body, so that's a very physical thing to begin with. You know, and I find just to keep my body as relaxed as possible, singing comes a lot easier. You know, yeah, keeping your jaw loose, and also not feeling like you have to stretch your neck up when you're getting the high notes. Actually, you'll probably get more tone out of just staying the same. You know, I was thinking about that today. You know, just on stage, and also, I mean, the weather can have a lot to do with voice. I always know when I get out to Colorado and the air is so dry, you know? But it's always changing, and you have to just like learn how to adapt. Physically, I mean, you know, we've all kind of been into this, I haven't ever studied it, but I've kind of heard a lot about this Alexander technique, which is this whole technique of, you probably know more about it than I do, but you know, basically the awareness of kind of lifting yourself and staying relaxed while playing your instrument, or, you know, they breathing. Yeah, it's all about breathing. And a lot of people, that was one of my first mandolin teachers, told me to just breathe, you know. A lot of people will tend to hold their breath if they're taking a solo or something, and that's not good. You have to keep breathing. And yeah, I mean, if you guys want to say anything about it, it's basically, that's it. It's just to kind of, I think it's a mental awareness of staying relaxed and then just practicing that, you know. For me, it's kind of a dual thing in terms of staying relaxed with my instrument and also with my voice at the same time, you know. I'm just getting used to that and just doing it. You know, the more you do it, the more comfortable and at ease you feel with it, you know. So I hope that helps.
Question, Sarah. Being a multi-instrumentalist, I have a sneaking suspicion you might be working on another instrument. Well, are you working on anything right now as a novice?
No, not in front of you.
Thank you.
anyone through that, so thank you guys for...
Alex, you're fired.
Yeah, that's only ever been, you know, just in the privacy of my own room have I ever done that, so you guys are... I was sort of reminded of this song when I went over there, because that was my very first time over to Scotland, and I had always wanted to go over there, and it was just so beautiful. It kind of, they tape it in the high country of Scotland, and it was just magical. And I also got to go to England on that same trip for the first time, and I think being over there for the first time and just seeing how beautiful it was reminded me of this song and how much I loved it, so I kind of worked it up again, and called Kathy's Song.
I don't know why.
songs for you here. This is on the last CD. It's called Floating in the Balance. Itself because it was cool because it was kind of this combination of mandolin and then, like I was saying earlier, like the bigness of the guitar, and I think that really lent itself to, well, and just anytime I have a new instrument in my hands, it's always new ideas, you know, flowing out, so that helps too. It's almost not even any particular instrument. A lot of it is, for me anyways, is switching it up and hearing new sounds, and I've heard Daryl Scott say that, you know. If he's getting tired of one thing, he'll switch over to a new one for inspiration, so. Yeah. How old am I? I just turned 22 on 2 days ago. And these guys, 23. And he just turned 21, so.
Coming into this being young adults, like, you know, not knowing where you're going to go and how you persevere to do it.
Yeah, well, I guess that's a multi-layered question. We've all just been playing for so long, you know, we've been playing festivals for many, many years now, which I feel very fortunate to have had these great opportunities to play at awesome festivals, especially like this one. This is my first time here, so, you know, there's always, you never quite know what to expect going to a place that you've never been before, but I had a feeling, since it was associated with Del McCurry, that it was going to be awesome, and sure enough, it is, so far, one of my favorites that we've ever been to. but I guess on top of that, you know, in terms of the booking and stuff, you know, there's many ways to go about doing that. A lot of people have booking agents, some people book shows on their own, which is great too, and you know, I guess with this one we've known for a while now. I had kind of, you know, reached out to these guys. I had shown interest in wanting to play here because I had seen the lineup in years past and it looked really cool. So, you know, I think it's just a combination of a lot of things, reaching out and also, you know, it just is, for me, I feel really fortunate. It's really happened really naturally over many, many years now, having started a while back. So I'm very fortunate to have the opportunity to play at festivals like this and others that we get to play. So I hope that answers your question in a way.
Come back.
Oh, we will, hopefully. Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's an exciting thing. I just finished 4 years at New England Conservatory in Boston, and that was a whole experience in itself, kind of aside from all these gigs and everything, and I was really glad that I did it. It was definitely a lot to juggle, but learned so much. There's so many amazing musicians up there in the Boston scene, so a cool thing to be surrounded by. Oh yeah, they're good friends of ours. Oh cool, yeah. Yeah, I guess, because Alex just finished up at Berkeley, so Tim was there the other day, and we got to jam on a couple tunes. It was fun. So, yeah, it's an exciting time. This is the first festival weekend of the summer, so can't think of a better way to kick it off. Woo! She said, when did I first think I wanted to start playing music? I guess I had been singing my whole life since I was about 2. So that was always something that I knew I loved to do, kind of naturally. And then when I was about 10 years old, I picked up a mandolin for the first time. And I just really fell in love with the instrument. And it was really small, like me, you know, at the time. So I really fell in love with it at 10 and kind of just started picking up other instruments after that. So. Do you play anything? Awesome. I actually started on piano lessons, so that's awesome. We'll keep up the music. That is amazing. Okay, guys, we've got time for about one more tune. We're going to play a Beatles song for you, because why not? They're awesome. And thank you guys for coming. This has been super nice getting to relax and talk to you guys and play some music, and thanks for coming and listening. And we'll be hanging out the whole day listening to the awesome music that's left, so we'll hope to hang with you out there in the festival. Thank you. Sing along if you know it, I'm sure you do. Dance along if you feel like it.